Support comes from the Arizona Inn, a Four Diamond, family-owned historic resort hotel and restaurant on Elm Street near the U of A. Information is at arizonainn.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jim Ninsel, the executive editor at the Tucson Weekly and Tucson Local Media, and we're here today to talk Zona politics. Joining me on the show, Lane Santa Cruz, a Democrat who is running in Ward 1 for the open Tucson City Council seat left by Regina Romero, who is now running for mayor. Lane, who is Lane Santa Cruz, and why is she running for office?
Hi, Jim. Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. Well, let's see a little bit about myself. I was born and raised here in Tucson. My parents actually lived in the Greenview Apartments in Barrio Sobaco when I was born. So I've grown up on the west side and the south side for the majority of my life, and have also chosen to raise my four children in Ward 1. So let's see. Since I was a college student at the U of A, I have been active doing community organizing work as a student. When I was at the U of A, I remember one of the first times I showed up for a protest was against the bilingual education ban that was happening around 2004.
The ballot proposition?
Yes. Yes. So that was one of my first encounters with trying to get people to come out against it. And then after that is when a lot of the organizing around migrant rights started to happen. This was like pre and post SB 1070 and HB 2281, which was the ethnic studies. But as a student, when I was a senior at the U of A, I took my first full-time job at the Center Against Sexual Assault, working as a sexual violence prevention educator. And after being there for a year and then graduating from the U of A is when Regina Romero first ran for office back in 2007. And she had pulled me aside and talked to me about joining her team. And I was a little hesitant because of my past activist and organizing work. It's like, oh, government officials are people we push against, not people you go work for. But it was one of the best decisions I ever made, was to take that leap of faith and figure out how I could be a better, bridge for the community that I've been organizing with within the city, so that we could push along a lot of the policies that we were seeing needed to happen. So I worked with her for 3 years. My plan had always been to go back to grad school and get my PhD in education. I was a McNair scholar when I was an undergrad. A lot of folks have invested a lot of time and energy in getting me into a PhD program. So I felt like I owed it to them and to my community to have more, more Latinos with PhDs. So I left the Ward 1 office, but that experience really taught me everything I didn't learn in school about how municipal governments are making decisions that impact our quality of life and everything that happens day to day, from what our roads and our street infrastructure looks like, the kind of investment our parks get, the kind of after-school programming for young people while parents are working, and then also, your public safety services. So that stayed in the back of my mind, but I got my PhD in 2016. And after I defended, my family became part of the opioid statistic that, has been happening here in the country and in the state of Arizona and in Tucson. My older brother overdosed on he had a fentanyl overdose in April of 2016, and that was pretty devastating for me and the rest of my family. So I still walked, I got my PhD, but it kind of really shifted, even though I knew that I was going to go into working in academia, and I wanted that work to be rooted in our local community and some of the issues that we were seeing here. it kind of, I felt like for a moment I needed to engage in work that brought a little more joy to my life, because everything was looking so bleak. So I started doing mobility justice work, where we were using the bike as a tool to organize around the kind of infrastructure, the safety needs that we need in our roadways, but also doing community engagement on the south side around like how we get perceived as being like invisible bike riders, because a lot of people are using the bike out of necessity, not because it's a choice or a recreational activity. So I was doing that work when Council Member Romero approached me again about coming to work at the Ward 1 office. And, you know, 10 years later, going back into the office, you know, I kind of went into it with a different mindset, where before it was like, yes, I'm learning a lot, I'm getting to see how things work. And now I was looking at things like, what kind of representation, you know, does the Ward 1 office need? Looking into the future, like, where do we need to go? And that kind of planted the seed in me about thinking about running, as I knew Regina was figuring out what her next move was. So that's kind of what brings us here today, that my past experience, that I love Tucson, and I was raised here, and I want to use my skills and my past community engagement work to bring more democratic representation to City Hall.
And you're one of four candidates who are currently in the race, and we'll see who files at the end of the month. But there's Sami Ahmed and Miguel Ortega and Rob Elias and you. And you're all chasing after a relatively small pool of voters. I think you have 22,000 Democrats, roughly, and about 12,000 independents who are eligible to vote. So it's a relatively small pool of voters you're chasing after. But what is the top issue on the minds of the Ward 1 residents that you talk with?
Well, you know, as I've been knocking on doors with myself and other supporters and my family, you know, the number one issue that keeps coming up with people, they're worried about their schools. They're worried about, like, funding for education. And they're not at a place where they're trying to have a conversation of like, oh, you know, well, you know, education gets funded by the state. The state really has nothing to do with it. They want to know what is the city going to do to, like, take ownership or to do something, because they feel like the past work around pushing the state and the state governor to better fund education and make it a number one priority is falling on deaf ears. So that's been, they want to know, like, what am I going to do? What is the city going to do for education? The other thing that's come up a lot has been around roads. People want, like, roads, like, when are their neighborhood, like, when are the residential streets going to get repaved? They're upset about seeing other parts of the city getting their neighborhood streets repaved, and the Ward 1 residents feel like they're not getting, you know, their fair share. And then the road safety. A lot of people are aware of the deaths that are happening on the roads and want to know what the city plans to do about them. So I would say those are, like, the top three things that I keep hearing over and over again is education, funding for education, repaving residential roads, and then road safety.
And is there something the city should be doing on the education front that it's not currently doing? As you pointed out, state funds a lot of it. The local school districts fund a lot of it. Does the city have a role to play in helping with funding or something else?
Well, with my background in education, you know, I would love for our schools to function as, like, community schools or community centers and look at the opportunities for how maybe the city can, you know, help fund programming that happens, and especially our neighborhood schools, to kind of boost them, prop them up a little more, and then also to leverage additional funding through other grants to say, like, look, the city is invested, you know, in the education of its residents, of its youngest residents, and we want to, you know, we want to use that as an opportunity to leverage other funds that could come in, because a lot of the schools are, you know, are falling apart, haven't had updated infrastructure as one thing, right? It's just like the building, the campus. But then you have, you know, we know about the living wages for our educators, but then also to the other support staff. You know, they're all workers in education, and we need to be properly funding them and figuring out the kind of programming that's going to uplift the entire community, because these children are part of family units that might be struggling with, you know, a variety of issues. And how do we see this all as like a network that, if we're investing in it, all of that is gonna impact more than a child.
If you're just joining us here, I'm Jim Ninsel, your host for Zona Politics, and we're talking with Lane Santa Cruz, who is one of four Democrats running for the open Ward 1 seat on the Tucson's west side in a Democratic primary that will be decided in August. And Lane, let's switch to a different topic. There's a group out there, Families Free and Together, and they are pushing an initiative that would essentially declare Tucson a sanctuary city, that would limit how the police officers interact with people and under what conditions they could ask about immigration status and some other restrictions there. And I'm just wondering, this is one that is not being supported by the current Ward 1 Councilwoman Regina Romero, nor any of the other Democrats seeking the mayor's office, but the Arizona Democratic Party Pima County Democratic Party has voted to support this particular initiative. And I'm wondering, where do you come down on it?
So, Jim, I support the spirit of the initiative, and I signed the petition because I believe that all Tucsonans should have, you know, an opportunity to vote on this important issue. I also, you know, want to make sure that, because we all share like the same values and goals coming from Tucson, having been doing this migrant rights work for a number of years, that we need to come together on the values and goals that we agree on. And we'll see, you know, we'll see how the voters respond to this, because it is a citizen initiative. But on the city council, you know, I want to make sure that we continue to do the work of supporting human rights and a lot of these systemic injustices, and that we need to continue pushing for more inclusive policies across the board that include having a city municipal ID, you know, having accountability for wage theft, supporting worker cooperatives, which has been like another wave of like an economic generator for undocumented communities to be able to do work. And then working on having a functional public transportation. A lot of our undocumented families who are in Tucson like rely on public transportation if they don't want to deal with the stress of being in a car and getting pulled over by police. So we need to improve that kind of infrastructure so that we are creating the environment where we truly are, you know, a community that keeps our most vulnerable residents safe.
So are you taking a position on the initiative, or are you just saying it's up to voters and you're neither a yes nor no?
I'm just saying it's up to, exactly, I'm saying it's up to voters.
Okay.
If this was coming to mayor and council, we would be having a very different, right, conversation. But because it's going to voters, that's, you know, we'll see what happens there. But like I said, I, as a council member, I am going to continue the work supporting and protecting our most vulnerable community members.
You know, there's a lot of development taking place on the west side of the downtown area in Ward 1 these days. And talk a little bit about, there are concerns also about gentrification in that area. And so I'm just wondering if you could talk a little bit about your vision for the west side of downtown, what you think should be developing over there, and is there a way that the city can try to protect existing homeowners in terms of gentrification, and is there, or should the city be doing that?
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to say that more important than like my personal vision, that I want to be part of co-creating and co-developing a vision, right, with our west side neighbors of what what are the needs and what are some of the priorities for the kinds of development that happens here on the West Side. From the conversations around gentrification and displacement that have been happening, we know that immediately what we need affordable housing, and we need workforce housing. And we know that a lot of our community members feel very passionate about having open spaces and having, going back and looking at the pieces of the Rio Nuevo development that were supposed to be of cultural and historical significance, like the Tucson Origins Park. So it's visioning with the community what people have already been sharing, over the past 20 years, but then looking how do we aggressively bring that kind of that development into the West Side that is really part that is in line with the vision that the community here has.
And you mentioned earlier transit and the importance of the bus system in the city of Tucson. And I wanted to ask, right now, of course, the city gets a lot of federal funding for the bus system, and there are other funding mechanisms for it. But it also draws a considerable subsidy from the city's general fund, as all transit systems do. But in terms of where the funding is in terms of that general fund support, do you think that needs to be boosted higher in the city budget, or is it just about right, or is it too low? Or your thoughts on where our bus and other transit system funding is in terms of the levels at this point?
Okay. Well, I think our transit system, specifically our bus system, needs to be affordable because it's meeting a need for folks who are already financially strapped for money or on fixed income, so it's kind of serving those folks. I think that some of the other ways that we can help generate more funds or more raising our ridership is by creating a transit system that is reliable and operates more like a bus rapid transit system, where I know that if I can look at my phone and know that at a certain time, every 10 to 15 minutes, I can catch the bus down the block from where I live. So looking at some of those opportunities where we can maybe engage, whether it's younger folks or other folks who are in their car, how do we incentivize folks as well to rely on our bus system as another way to get around, also as another way to bring revenue into that system.
And, there's any number of road projects going on in the city of Tucson at any given time. And this one's a little bit out of your ward. I think it's mostly Ward 6, but and Ward 5, but the Broadway is going to be there. The city will be starting a widening process between downtown and Country Club Road in later this year. And I'm wondering your thoughts on, was this a necessary project? And if so, do you think the city's going about it the right way?
So I was on the Bicycle Advisory Committee when some of these conversations, were starting to unfold a couple of years back. And from my experience and wanting to get people to use other modes of transportation that isn't so car centric, I'm not supportive of the Broadway widening. And that whole process was really frustrating to see that maybe a project 20 years ago where people had other growth numbers for what Broadway traffic was going to be like were being instituted years later, and without any data that says, yes, this is still needed. But because you know, these RTA packages come with very specific language about what these projects need to look like by the time they actually, you know, like the years that they're designated to, like, roll out, you revisit them and you're like, well, you know what, that isn't really a need here anymore, that there is no room in these projects for the community then to reengage and say, okay, maybe the widening isn't what is needed anymore, but maybe what we do need is like a bus rapid transit lane, or we need these other kinds of improvements that are going to connect people from south part of Broadway to north part of Broadway, or making it more walking friendly. That there is no opportunity with these packages that get brought to voters, and then, you know, years later you're like, you know what, that wasn't ideal. That's part of it. The other one too, that with the RTA being our regional authority on transportation, that you have people from all over, right, the county leading and making, right, these decisions that impact, you know, people who live along that corridor, people, the city residents who really are the ones who see the negative impact from widening roads that center cars and not people. I don't know if that answers your question, Jim. Or
oh, no, it sounds like you would have preferred to not see the widening go forward in general. I'm wondering about, as it is now moving forward, do you think the way the city's going about it is the transportation department's going the right way?
With the way they're going about it now?
Yeah, yeah. Would you say that?
I think what I hear is that they, you know, they want, like, okay, because of how specific that language is about what needs to happen, that people, I guess, within the city transportation department want to stay open to the possibility of maybe still putting, right, like a bus rapid transit lane instead of having three car travel lanes in each direction, that we prioritize other modes on that roadway. So that, I mean, that'll be interesting to see what that looks like.
And, you know, economic development, obviously jobs, very important to the community. We've seen some development in that area, certainly with some mining operations moving here, some the Amazon Center, some logistical and supply operations, that sort of thing. Do you have any thoughts about how the city could better work on economic development and build more jobs in the community?
Yeah, so we need to attract and support the growth of, like, high-wage jobs. And, like, across the board, that, I mean, at all levels, that is what we need. But one thing we see, especially here in Ward 1, right, we have a lot of small businesses and what I call, like, legacy small businesses, that after a family kind of, what's happened in the past, after a family, you know, retires or the children don't want to continue the operation of that small business, that the small business just shuts down, right? And like the significance of, like, culture or neighborhood, that neighborhood restaurant or that neighborhood market, all of that just goes away. And I would love to see more opportunities for cooperative developments here in Tucson, so that instead of that business closing down, that we could work with them to convert, to do a conversion into a worker cooperative, where maybe the workers that worked at that tortilla factory or at that restaurant or at that panaderia become co-owners of that space. And then they get to make the decisions of how they operate more democratically. So I feel like there's lots of opportunities with that. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of people my age thinking about, like, how do they get to have more ownership of the labor, of the work that they do. And we're doing that work of, like, how do, when you're working in landscaping, or when you're working in trying to start a bike shop or a coffee shop, how do you go, instead of taking all that risk as an individual, how do you go in with other people who have shared values and goals and start a small business. So I think there's a lot of opportunity to think more creatively, to think more democratically, and more just in how we think about economic development and the future of our city.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. My guest today has been Lane Santa Cruz, a Democrat running for the Ward 1 Tucson City Council seat that is being vacated by Rahina Romero as she runs for mayor, one of four Democrats currently seeking a spot on the ballot there. And Lane, I want to thank you for taking the time. And if folks want to learn more about your campaign, where do they go online?
They can go to www.santacruzfortucson.com or follow us on social media at Santa Cruz for Tucson.
All right. Well, thank you so much. This has been Zona Politics. My thanks to the folks here at KXEI who make the programming possible. And we'll see you next week.
Support for Zona Politics is provided by Hotel Congress in historic downtown Tucson. Hotel Congress is known for its world-famous taproom, Cup Cafe, and Club Congress, offering local and national acts inside and outside on the plaza. More information at hotelcongress.com and 622-8848.